Welcome to East Meets West, episode 72. I'm Roger Chang.
And I'm Merritt Tom.
Well, and this is the podcast where we discuss things.
Things of a very important, but also of a very trivial nature.
What have you been doing of an important or trivial nature lately?
Work. And then I spent last week with my dad because he just got out of the hospital.
He got out of the hospital. He's doing okay, though, right?
I think so. I give it another month before I can give an absolute.
Yeah, but he's up and around. He's driving a car. So, yeah. You know, people get worried. Don't want to worry him.
No.
Have you been Twittering?
No.
No?
Actually, I did twice. One was Modesto was boring, and the other one was Sprawl of Modesto.
I started using Wiz.dm. It's a social networking through questions.
Interesting.
And I've started 20 questions with the world.
Are you hard up for friends now?
No. I haven't even really made any friends on it. But I started on my blog. I'm doing 20 questions.
Uh-huh.
Because the idea of Wiz.dm is you ask a question and then the whole community can respond yes or no. But it has to be a yes or no question.
That's pretty lame.
Some pretty interesting things on there. But so I started by saying, is it a mineral? And so far, most people say, no, it's not a mineral. So next I'll ask vegetable. And then if I get a no to vegetable, then I know it's an animal. Because it's either animal, vegetable, or mineral. You know how 20 questions works, right?
Yes, I suppose.
I'm a little hoarse right now. Make the joke. Make the joke.
Oh, I was going to say that would explain the smell, but
I did a little hour on how to podcast with the fine folks at the National Hispanic Journalists Conference in San Jose this morning.
It is a small step from Martinez to Merritt.
Well, they were the Hispanic journalists.
Oh,
obviously
okay.
Not me.
I was wondering if you were putting down, you know, white Hispanic
instead of
just white non-Hispanic.
Myself off. Buenos dias. Me amo Tomas Martinez.
If you were raised in South America and spoke Spanish, you'd be Hispanic.
True enough.
Like I said, Hispanic is not a racial designation.
No, it was Hispanic journalists, and there were a bunch of them. There was like 40 or 50 people there.
There were a bunch of Hispanic journalists
showed up for the session I did on podcasting. Right. Obviously, there was a large amount of attendance at the conference. I just mean a bunch showed up for my thing, which I was happy about.
You weren't sure that podcasting.
Spin it. Go ahead. spin it away.
That those people wouldn't appreciate podcasting.
I knew you were gonna go there. No, I just didn't know if anybody was interested in podcasting, and from me.
Well,
especially.
It's interesting because a lot of I know in radio, especially since Clear Channel picked up. Basically kind of hoovered up the radio stations, you know, all the local independent radio stations across the country. All the other ones that were traditionally, you know, English-speaking, you know, but couldn't compete, right? I mean, you're trying to, you know, compete against a huge monolithic – I shouldn't say monolithic, but a huge conglomerate radio station. So most of them sold, and a lot of those outlets became Spanish-language stations. Because they could cater to.
So you're implying that Hispanic journalists only speak Spanish?
No, actually, I wasn't going there at all. But I was saying that they're basically following a trend of a lot of basically now that I think they've saturated, you know, the Spanish speaking market. They're trying to find new outlets beyond traditional just broadcast radio.
Well, and I think that's just true of journalism in general, not just Hispanic journalism. But
no, I'm not saying I mean Spanish language.
Yeah,
journalism.
There were people from CNN in the audience, people from – well, one person from CNN. There was a person from the San Jose Mercury News. There was a good cross-section of some people with Spanish-language publications and some people with not. But it was really a good crowd, great questions from people. I felt bad. I wasn't able to hook my laptop up and show them the things that I wanted to show them. So I was fumbling around in Safari on the Mac – that was hooked up to the projector trying to find things. But
maybe you should get a Mac then.
Well, and then I could have hooked it up to the projector, yeah. Uh-huh.
And then you could have not.
I will. I'll get a Mac sometime in October. Uh-huh. I did mention East Meets West during the session.
Yes, you mentioned. Did you get a round of applause for people? Oh,
you do that podcast. No.
And people are just scratching their heads. What the fuck is that?
No, I was just talking about Feedburner and the fact that you – that you could, we use Feedburner to make our XML.
Now, Google, of course, bought. Did they already purchased Feedburner?
Yep.
So it's interesting to see if feed burner will remain what it has been so far, or will it move on to a more Google-ish?
Yeah, Google's got a varied track record with that stuff. There are things that they've bought that they've totally left alone, and then other things like Rightly, yeah, where they just totally transformed it into a Google
app
service, Google app.
So. And it's interesting because Google is getting to the size where they can be considered a large multinational conglomerate, Faceless corporate. And it's so funny because I remember when people were rooting for Google, Google versus Microsoft. Now it's like, maybe not so much.
Well, because Google has a mission statement not to be evil.
Yes.
So it makes a difference.
It's true, but that's also a very subjective term. What is evil?
Am I evil?
I think you're evil. You're a necessary evil, right?
Why do you think I'm evil?
Why not?
Why not? That's not a good enough reason.
For you, for me, it's a perfect reason.
You got to have a better reason than that.
Why do I have to have a perfect
reason? Well, I can just say anything and say, why not? Come on, so? You got to give some amount of justification.
I don't know, because you work at CNET, and therefore competitor.
Okay, there you go. That would be reasonable justification.
Because only Tom Merritt can define what is reasonable and what is not.
That is exactly what I meant by that.
Tom, the man Merritt.
Yes, we can't have a conversation unless I decide what's reasonable. Man, you're in a mood.
It's the end of the week.
Yeah,
I'm punchy.
Me too, though. I am too. I'm tired.
It's a long week. I don't know.
I had a long day yesterday.
I honestly believe that the world turns at a different rate, but this their global politics involved that won't let people realize that.
That some weeks are, in fact, longer than others?
Yes. Yes.
You believe that?
Yes.
Okay. Justify that.
Special relativity.
Okay. I want to see that mathematical proof. You're speechless.
What?
I can't believe it.
It's special. Hey, time is all relative, right? For me, it can be extraordinarily long. For you, it can be extraordinarily short. We would both be correct.
It's the perception of time, though.
No. Time can be longer or shorter depending on your observation of it.
But the perception of time is not the same as the relativity effect on time. Time flies when you're having fun. Doesn't have to do with the general or special theories of relativity.
Maybe it
it's
does.
A perceptual.
You just don't want to acknowledge it because then you'd be uncomfortable.
No,
and
because
awkward.
You have independent observers who report different lengths of time. Therefore, it's not a relativity issue. It's not a speed issue. It's an issue of perception.
No. If you part of special relativity, you can actually people can measure over length of time. They, for example, distance.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. If they're both two people are in exactly the same place, one's having fun and the other isn't, they're going to report different lengths
of time. That you're right. There's
and they're
a,
not
there,
moving.
There's a separation.
You have to have movement, at least relative movement.
See,
but you have to have relative movement. If two people are moving, they could still have different perceptions of
but
time.
But there is something moving. Light. I mean, that's what you're seeing. That's how you.
Yeah,
see.
They're both seeing the same light. They're standing in the same place. And if they're not, it's a perception issue.
No.
Yeah, I got you. No. I got you with that one.
No, I can be right. I will be right. I'll come back next week or the week after. Damn you, Merritt.
It doesn't feel good to win. Let me just tell
you. Oh. Please. You're about as good as a liar as you are good as a reasonable person.
We shot a video in a bar yesterday.
Did it hurt?
No.
Did the video survive after being shot?
Yes, it did, as all video does when you shoot it. And your boss is gone, huh?
My boss?
Yeah, Patrick.
No, he's still around.
Well, not gone. He's not dead. I mean, he was out of the office.
Oh, you could have said that.
So you were just playing around.
Oh, maybe if you just said, like, hey, Patrick's not in town this
so
week.
So Patrick's dead.
Yeah.
Like, I would just say it that way.
Yeah, you probably would.
No, I wouldn't.
You would be so flip.
I would not. He's a dear friend of mine. I would definitely not.
He's up with our former cohort, Laporte, up in Vance.
Leo the Port.
Yes, in Van City, doing God knows what.
I love Vancouver. I think I've mentioned that before.
Yes. I said it so much, I told him once to divorce his wife and marry it.
I was not. Maybe in Canada I could do that.
You could. Yeah. They are a freakish country.
Do you know, do you watch Stargate Atlantis?
Yes.
You know Rodney McKay Twitters? The guy who plays Rodney McKay.
You know, I don't
David
like
Hewitt.
Him or the actor. Like, I don't like the character. I really don't
like
him.
Oh, I love the character. I mean, he's horrible. He's a real megalomaniac, but I love it. I think he's excellent.
I think it's because Tom sees a little bit of himself.
Oh, like you don't.
Oh, wow. Sheath thy dagger.
I think Rodney McKay, the character Rodney McKay, would exist quite naturally within the confines of East meets West. Do you not?
It's funny you say you and not we.
I said I think this. Do you not think the same?
There's just.
I think Rodney is sort of that tendency to always want to be right, just taken to the extreme.
It's kind of funny. It's weird because they have a lot of Canadian actors play a lot of multiple roles. Mm-hmm.
Because they're up there in Vancouver. Yeah.
Interesting.
That's what made me think of it, by the way, if you're wondering.
It's interesting to note that if you watch a lot of the Sci-Fi channel, and a lot of the sci-fi movies, they shoot a lot of them up in Vancouver, and you see a lot of the same actors.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I wonder if, like, all these people have the same casting agent. Like, hey, there's a new sci-fi series coming up. You want to be in it?
Well, Smallville, too, because it's shot up there. You see a lot of those actors that you're talking about show up. In fact, Erica Durance, who's now Lois Lane on Smallville, was in Stargate, and I think she was in – I'm trying to think if there was another show that I saw
but
her in.
I'm wondering if it's because – There's a dearth of talent, or that's just the people that get it because they're already, like, well-known. You know what I mean?
You do see character actors recur in Hollywood-produced shows as well, but I think you don't see the frequency because there's a larger pool. You just don't have as large of a pool in Vancouver.
So Vancouver is a small pool?
Yeah, because of the fog and rain.
Fact that British Columbia has fewer people than the Bay Area.
You just have to turn everything into a pun, don't you?
Into a numbers game. It's all a numbers game. California has more people than the country than Canada.
So? Does that make it better?
No, it just makes their population more diffuse over a...
Well, and it makes you have a larger pool of people to draw from.
Quality pool.
Do you think so, really?
No.
No.
I know a lot of crummy actors.
I know a lot of crummy Californians. That doesn't mean I think all Californians are crummy.
Uh-huh.
They're just some of them.
Why don't you blaspheme some more?
What did you think about Arnold Schwarzenegger's announcement to the National Hispanic Journalist Conference that they should stop watching Spanish language television? Did you hear about this?
No, I did not.
This was in the paper this morning.
Relate the whole story.
He gave an address and said that if you want to succeed in the United States, you need to learn English. Stop watching Spanish language television and reading Spanish language papers and start watching English and force yourself to learn English. An interesting thing to say coming from an immigrant whose first language is not English.
You know, it's kind of interesting because I actually half agree with him. It's very you know, you probably wouldn't be familiar, but when I grew up in San Francisco, a lot of the Chinese kids I grew up were ABCs, American Born Chinese.
Mm-hmm.
So even though our parents, you know, still went to the Chinese market, read, you know, Chinese newspapers, you know, for a majority of our existence, a lot of the media that we dealt with was English based. So in many ways, it helped. I mean, in not just skills and in grammatical skills and writing skills, but being able to acclimatize to a culture and then have some sort of relevancy when I meet someone. And it's like, hey, did you watch the game last night? Hey, what did you think of the debate? You know, so and the thing is, with today's technology, it's really easy to be very insular in your community. Not so much in the physical sense, but very much in the psychological sense. In many ways, it parallels a lot of the colonialism that you saw in the. I know you're giving me that weird look.
No, I'm trying. I'm just listening.
But for example, in the colonial Africa, when a lot of British expatriates moved to like Kenya, to South Africa, areas like, you know, that are now Zimbabwe, Botswana. They brought a lot of their culture with them. They didn't make any real effort to ingratiate themselves into the local customs and culture. And as time went on, it kind of fomented a lot of mistrust as well as misunderstanding because, you know, people are trying to live an English lifestyle in a location that, you know, due to temperature, I mean, you can't do noon tea in Africa.
Oh, you could.
But
it was not. Yeah, yeah, I know what you mean.
But you know, you can't wool. You can't wear the woolen. Mm-hmm. You know, jacket. You know,
and
what
they
mean?
Would, and they would do it. Yeah, and they would give themselves hyperthermia.
They would not relinquish. That's the British way. That's yeah. you know you. So
it's not quite that bad. But no. I see the analog.
But you see. So and I see. I mean, I don't agree with exactly what it says, but I understand that. And you know, it's interesting because California was at the forefront of trying to do the what they call parallel tracking for education for students who did not speak where English was not their primary language. They would teach them, like, for example, mathematics, science, history in Spanish, and the results have been anywhere from mixed to poor.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, it got to the point where a lot of Hispanic parents were quite really upset and say, like, we're sending our kids to school, but they're not coming back with any useful skills that they don't know. They can't speak. They speak and read, write English language poorly. They don't really understand the subject matter that you've taught them, like, you know, math and science. And in fact, what you've done is you've taken and made second class citizens out of our kids because, you know, out of some sort of benevolent, you know.
Well, the idea was if I'm a young kid whose parents speak Spanish, I'm going to learn science and math faster if I'm taught in Spanish than I would if I was taught in English that I don't understand as well.
And that didn't pan out at all. And, you know, what finally was recommended is what a lot of people were recommending was put those kids in ESL as well as put them in normal classes at the same time. So they're building, you know, they're reinforcing their English lessons that they're learning every day. And they, you know, it's not like they're going to suddenly lose their ability to speak Spanish, you know, because they still have a
Spanish is an interesting one too, though, because so much of the United States speaks Spanish.
Yeah.
Unlike the other languages of people who immigrate here. I mean, there's a large contingent that speak Mandarin or Russian or various languages in San Francisco. But when you get into the wider populace, really the only foreign language that you have, the only non-English language that you have is Spanish. And it's very widespread. So there's almost a case to be made that there is a legitimate Spanish culture out there. In response to your argument that, well, I need to integrate myself into the current culture, especially in the Southwest, there is a Spanish culture. I mean, who's to say there shouldn't just be a whole Spanish economy, Spanish speaking economy?
But there already is. I mean, that's what I'm saying. It's a very complex topic, you know. And it'd be great, but at the same time, you know, one of the things is that, you know, as a country, you need to form a common link between people, not just...
But there's so many countries that do have multiple languages. Why shouldn't the United States have two?
Give me an example of a successful one.
Well, you have...
You have Canada, where they still argue between the allophones and the anglophones over...
I guess I was thinking more of like Belgium, France and Germany,
is still
where
fighting.
You have multiple dialects.
But they do have one established.
And at Italy, you have a lot of different dialects of Italian.
And they still have one formally defined language that you use. You look at Belgium, they still fight over it. You look at...
What do they fight over in Belgium?
Between the Walloons and between the Dutch and the French descendants.
Okay, yeah.
You look in... actually, Switzerland's pretty good. And I think part of it is that each of those cantons, where like it's an Italian or French, uh-huh. they have direct control over their own affairs.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have kind of a nanny state that goes in and say, okay, you're going to do this, you're going to do that. In fact, in many cases with the EU, they've run at loggerheads, not over that directly, but taxes and taxation, because cantons get to have established their own tax rate for those citizens.
Think a country to be successful has to have a single language?
No. I think they need to have an established a common language that everyone is able to read, write, and you can go
That's
home.
That's a good point.
You know what I mean? I'm not saying that
so
you should
have... You should have a single language, but you should have a common language.
You should have a common language that everyone should be able to converse with well.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, my dad speaks Chinese, you know, Mandarin, Cantonese, can't speak Spanish. And a lot of the people he deals with, especially like people by his produce room, speak Spanish, but they both speak English.
Uh-huh.
That's how they do business.
And that's true in a lot of these areas I'm talking about in Europe, where maybe French or German or Italian become the common language, even though they have different dialects.
I mean, you know, the common language of air travel is English. You go to any airport in the world, when you talk to the tower, it's in English.
Mm-hmm.
You go to, I mean, partly due to the British influence over maritime laws, but a lot of that, pretty much all that traffic's also done in English.
So I don't know. I don't know if I would go as far as what Governor Schwarzenegger said.
I'm not saying yet. No.
I haven't seen his quote, so he may not have said
it.
That's the headline.
Yeah,
so. That's all I've
and
seen.
And, you know, I don't like headline writers.
It's just I used to be a headline writer.
I know, you told me.
You don't like headlines?
I didn't like you at that point in time either.
You hated me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
After you quit, I was like, oh.
Veronica Belmont walking in right at the last minute, even though she refused to be on the podcast earlier. She couldn't stay away.
I'll say hello.
She's going to say hello. Aw, that's nice of you. What mic are you going to sit at?
Yay.
Mic 4.
Cool.
Hey, the board was all messed up when we came in. Somebody had turned off the sound card. Had to go into the preferences and change it. Yeah.
Uh-oh.
I'll give you one guess.
I don't know. What do you think?
Well, you know who I am.
What's wrong with your mic?
Can you hear me?
Are you really on mic 4 or are you on mic 1?
Hello.
I think she's on. Here, use my mic.
This is mic 1.
Oh, there she goes.
There you are.
See?
There we go.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry about that. I thought it said 4.
I just always assume it's mp3.com that messes with stuff.
Yeah, could be. They're supposed to be in there right here, right now, though. So unless they left early.
Oh. So what are you doing in here so late?
We're just doing a little East Meets West.
Yeah.
Little thing we do, podcast.
Little podcasty.
Oh, you don't like it?
No, I do. I'm having one of those days where nothing is working right. Like, I've been trying to import this video into Final Cut Pro for the past, 3 hours, and it's just not doing it.
What kind of format is it in?
It's in MPEG 4.
Oh, what you need to do is use Visual Hub or iSquint.
I'm using Compressor right now.
The thing about Compressor is really, it's kind of weird unless you're... Compressor was designed to export stuff out of Final Cut, so I've never actually tried to do it the opposite way, and I just use Visual Hub, and I don't
really
work.
Well, at least it works with Final Cut, so then maybe it'll finally freaking work.
Well, with Visual Hub, you can actually convert something straight into DV, and they'll automatically.
Is that free?
iSquint's free. Visual Hub's like $24.
All right, well, I'll go for that then next if this doesn't work.
Okay.
There you go.
Well, I'm glad we could troubleshoot that for you.
Thank you.
It's glad to know that an outsider can help the... The fine folks here.
The evil people I've seen it.
No, just you.
Do I have to give you money or anything for helping me, like contract work?
Just keep me in your thoughts when I'm looking for work in a couple of years.
He's touching me again.
You people.
Roger. Wow. So we talked about the National Hispanic Journalist Conference. We talked about Governor Schwarzenegger's address. We talked about
Veronica Belmont.
We talked about what was the last thing we talked about?
You said that
whether a country should have a single language or a common language.
I say common. Single is one of those kind of incendiary words that people like to throw out in order to get a rise out of people and prove that they're correct.
What's something unrelated to work that you've been up to lately?
Me?
Yes.
Unrelated to work?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Nothing?
Talk.
No. Not a darn thing.
Well, you haven't done any kickball or that volleyball thing you're on?
No. No Warcraft either.
No Warcrafting?
No.
What would? Wait. If you're out of the guild for a while, don't they get kind of upset?
No.
No?
I'm more of a figurehead at this point.
Wow.
You just have the title.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do they call that?
Queen Elizabeth.
Yeah, I'm Queen Elizabeth of the guild.
That's good to know.
I go to the public functions and show my face and wave.
You're just good for tourism.
So wait a minute, do you get taxes? How do you support yourself in World of Warcraft?
They send me enchanted pendants and stuff.
That's it.
What about an enchanted
mount or enchanted
I did actually. I felt really bad. I logged on 2 weeks ago for the first time in a really long time, and one of the guys in our guild was like, "Do you have your mount yet?" And I was like, "No." He's like, "Oh, let's go get one." And I said, "Oh, okay." And so he just got paid for 80% of my mount. And I was I feel really bad taking this. But he's like, no, I've got plenty. Don't worry about it. I've been farming stuff all day. I got tons of money.
He's got tons of farmers working under him.
I felt like he was like my sugar daddy or something.
Wow.
I felt
you
really
know what?
Dirty.
I guess you owe him something.
But I wanted it. I wanted that mount.
Wow.
Whoa.
You wanted
that. Can you delete that? Thanks.
Warcraft.
Of Warcraft.
We're talking about Warcraft.
My mount of Warcraft.
I mean, what's wrong with wanting a mount? I mean, come on.
In Warcraft, nothing.
I often want a mount.
Okay. I see this is going downhill real fast.
See, this is why I don't come into the studio when you're in here.
See, Roger, you want her to come back. You have to...
What did I do last time?
I don't remember.
Exactly.
I
nothing.
I blocked it out.
People what? Like it when we have special guests. We had Eileen on a while back.
Oh, yes. She sat in. Eileen's great.
And,
she's a nice lady.
You know, Django drops in. I think so, too.
I'm glad you think so.
It wouldn't have, you know, yeah.
People still talk about when Ryan came on with you.
Ryan,
that was a long time ago.
Long ago.
Yeah, he needs to come back on. He needs to boost our numbers.
Well, y'all should come over to my house again. Mm-hmm. You haven't been over since then when it had no furniture.
Now he has furniture.
We sat on the floor. That was cute. Yeah.
We have furniture now.
Those the nudists across the way have moved out finally.
There were no nudists. It was a lady playing piano, and she's still there.
Was she nude?
No. She was not playing piano nude either.
Was she just nude and then put clothes on and played piano?
No, she was clothed the whole time.
So wait a minute.
I don't know where
from?
Roger's fantasies are coming from.
Oh. It's Roger, right.
Whatever.
Whatever.
So explain the telescope you have in your living room.
I have no telescope in my living room.
Oh, really?
What about the torture chamber in your laundry room?
That's not my laundry room. Uh-huh. But there is a torture chamber there.
I won't make any comments on that one.
Shall we go to the message board since we've burned so much time already?
Yeah, we've only got a couple minutes left. You pick. Just pick one. Pick one at random. It's been a while, so... Most of these are
kind
of old.
Wait a minute. Oh, wait. I'm not even in the thing.
All right, fine. I'll pick one. Okay. Eric says, hey, guys, love the show. It reminds me of long late-night conversations I had in my college years. And by college years, I mean time my friends spent in college while I hung out in their dorms playing video games. Question for Tom. Have you ever thought about off-world baseball? I've been wondering about the effect on higher or lower gravity on the mechanics of the game. Would people even bother playing? I could see soccer staying basically the same, but how would baseball change if even your average Joe could knock a ball 500 feet or more?
It would stay the same, except the field of play would be much bigger.
Yeah, well, or smaller, depending on which world you're on.
That's true. But if it was a higher gravity planet, I think most people would be out of breath before the
Well, that's why you'd make it smaller. Instead of 90 feet between the bases, you have like 10 feet.
I have a few inches.
Yeah, little small parks on Mercury.
And then you could play T-ball.
Hey, I have a comment about your message boards.
Yes.
I came across some kind of this or that style conversation, like what do you like more, this thing or the other thing?
Uh-huh. Yes.
And one of them was Veronica or Molly.
Right. Did you listen to that episode?
I did not listen to it, but I saw that Ross picked Molly over me. So I just want to say, Ross, that you're off the list.
Oh, no. Ross
got
uninvited
what list it is,
from your birthday party.
From whatever it is, you're not on the list anymore, just so you know. Everyone else is okay. I don't really care. Yeah. Ross,
I recused myself from that.
I said Veronica because I worked with you before.
Okay.
I've never worked with Molly.
Veronica's okay with that, too.
I'm okay with that. I just had to bring it up because, you know.
Uh-huh.
It's personal.
Oh, now. And actually, Doug from Livermore mentioned something about getting back from building an orphanage in Europe. And he mentioned my comment about me wanting to visit Romania.
Ooh.
It says several open Wi-Fi spots. Bandwidth was good enough for Skype. Riot had very green countryside and very nice people. Hotel not so bad, but their parentheses advertised wireless internet never worked. I was working on a couple of building projects, so there wasn't just much time to be on the net anyway. All in all, nice country that came out of communism is now building a solid middle class for itself.
Also vampires.
Yeah.
Vampiric.
They trade on the vampire tourism quite a bit there.
Yes.
In Transylvania,
yeah,
obviously.
Mm-hmm. So you can't go wrong.
Once bitten, twice shy?
Once bitten, now a vampire, I think is actually the way the saying goes there.
Uh-huh.
Once bitten, now you're undead. Hey, have you heard about that zombie movie that's coming out called Fido?
Yes.
Yes.
I can't wait to see that. Yeah. Oh, it's really good.
I don't know. I'm still waiting for Transformers to come out. And then I'll save my comment from Mr. Bay.
Because it's got that really funny Scottish actor in it.
Oh,
Billy Connolly.
From,
Is that his name? He was in Boondock Saints as the father.
Uh-huh.
I know it has
zombies in it.
Nothing
you haven't know? Nothing?
I'm
getting nothing here.
It has zombies.
It has zombies. Well, the joke is that the zombies are like house pets and like servants.
They've beaten the zombie horde down
and
controlled them.
Well, I'm sure some part of the movie they're going to come back.
Well, that's the whole thing in the trailer.
The
they show
uprising.
One of the zombies gets a taste
and then it becomes
a hilarious hijinks ensue because it's a comedy.
It's supposed to be very much like Shaun of the Dead.
Yeah.
I didn't like Shaun of the Dead.
It looks pretty funny, though.
Okay.
I'm liking it.
I have to go work now.
All right. Yeah, we got to go too. Thanks for joining us.
See you next time.
Bye.
Bye.